Word of the Lord comes to us today from the letter to Titus from the Apostle Paul. We read in the third chapter, verses 4 through 7. Continue to listen for the Word of God today. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the water of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, grant now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if we have any eagle-eyed watchers of the church website, you'll notice that our sermon title is different from what we put out onto the web and in our communications at the beginning of last month. Now, what we have here is the reality that in November, I looked into this text while I was making plans and saw one thing. But by the time December rolled around, I looked into the exact same text and I saw something else staring back out at me. You know, life does sort of roll along, and what seems important one day may not seem nearly as important the next day. Not that I would suggest that the original title, Salvation, isn't important. Clearly, as I considered our Titus reading in November, making plans for this time, I thought salvation was exactly what we would speak about today. And let's be very clear about it. Salvation is important. Salvation is a hallmark of our faith. It's sort of the pinnacle. Without salvation, we're really just a rather archaic moral and ethical system. You could write a better, simpler one from scratch, perhaps easily, although on second thought, the ancient Greeks struggled with a lot of time on their hands to come up with moral and ethical systems that would be no more simple than our own. But I also would not say that salvation is what makes us unique today. Other faiths have their means of defining what one is saved from and saved for and how and when. But in November, as I looked at this text, salvation was what was looking back at me. But come December, what I saw was goodness and loving kindness. Just a handful of verses from Titus. Let's listen to them again. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not according to any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. By God's mercy, and by that alone, we are offered salvation. And when God appeared among us to save us, that presence was marked by goodness and loving kindness. Loving kindness is one of the attributes given to God throughout the Old Testament. The Hebrew word is chesed. And the response of the creature to God's chesed, God's loving kindness, is to imitate it. Here are some of the means by which the ancients believed we imitate the saving love of God. Love God so completely that one will never forsake God's service for any reason. Provide a child with all the necessities of his or her sustenance and love that child. Visiting and healing the sick. Giving charity to the poor. offering hospitality to strangers, attending to the dead, and making peace between a fellow human being and his or her fellow. These are just a handful of the ways the ancients defined the imitation of God's goodness and loving kindness. Perhaps goodness and loving kindness just sort of leapt off the page at me in December because I too became wrapped up, as many of us I'm sure did, in what I needed to get for people. My computer was awash in Amazon notices as I shipped gifts here and there, and I forgot what I receive, what we all receive from God, goodness and loving kindness. As we prepare to come to the table of Jesus Christ to be reminded of his unique presence with us, even now, even as we celebrate his birth, it is good to be reminded of who God is and to what lengths God would go, according to God's mercy, to save us. And so I'm reminded of a familiar Christmas story that is often told this time of year. We preachers like to trot it out from time to time. That of Martin the Cobbler. It is a short story by Leo Tolstoy. Martin is an elderly cobbler. He has lost his only child, his beloved child. And as he is grieving, one day he hears the voice of God saying, "I will visit you tomorrow." All throughout his day, Martin awaits God's visit. But as he ends the day and looks back over it, he remembers only having encountered an old man in need of a warm drink, a young mother whose clothing was inadequate for the chill in the air, and a little boy who had stolen an apple and needed to be given both love and correction. Of course, being a parable of grace, we see the connection to the gospel, that in serving these children of God, Martin imitated the saving love of God. Indeed, Martin imitated God's goodness and loving kindness. And so in the person of these visitors, God indeed had come to Martin. But what I've always loved most about this story, which often goes unnoticed, is its title. Tolstoy, who struggled with his faith all throughout his life, but came to a sort of uneasy belief toward the end of it, borrowed a leaf from the notebook of the Eucharist and titled this story after a hymn, Ubi Caritas Est, where God is, love is. So as we come to the table of Jesus Christ, invited to remember God's saving acts, invited to imitate those very acts of goodness and loving kindness, let us remember where God is, love is, ubi caritas est. And, of course, its converse, where love is, God is always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.